I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Well, I'm glad you could join me today, and we'll be looking in just a few minutes into 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be reading in verse 12. Let me encourage you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. And on that website, you'll find a place where you can request prayer. I want to share your prayer requests. I want to go to the Lord in prayer with you and pray for the needs that you have. Or I want to also pray for the blessings that you have. Share with me some of the things that God has done for you in your life. Or you can write me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida. That's 34731. Write me today, or go to our website and leave me a message there. I want to pray with you. Well, it is a good life living for the Lord, and it would seem that Paul the Apostle had discovered that through his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul writes this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul knew whom he had believed, and he was willing to do what was necessary to please the one whom he believed in, or whom he believed. Now, Paul had done many things in his life. He had started out as someone who persecuted Christians. If you remember the story, how that he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, how that he fell to the ground and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And of course, Bible scholars alike will tell you that is when Paul the Apostle got saved. He recognized who Jesus was. Well, he had been persecuting the Christians. He had been persecuting Christ all those years, and he immediately recognized who Jesus was. Now, Paul recognized several things during his life as a Christian, and in this scripture we're reading, we find that he was not ashamed of Jesus. He said in that verse, in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Then, why wasn't he ashamed? He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Now, to the human eye, it would seem that Paul the Apostle was a crook. It would seem that he was someone who couldn't be trusted. He was a lawbreaker. Now, this, of course, keep in mind, was in the sight and in the eyes of the ones who were in control of that day, and that would be those people who hated Christians. Those people who did not want Jesus Christ being praised, they did not want Jesus Christ being lifted up as Savior, they did not want people to know who Jesus Christ was. So in the eyes of so many people back then, Paul the Apostle would have been a criminal. But Paul the Apostle had something going for him that these people didn't. He knew Jesus as his Savior. And as we read this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we suddenly realize that Paul looked at Jesus in several different ways. He looked at him as a physician. He knew that he was able to take care of him physically. He also looked at Jesus as his shepherd. You remember back in the Psalms, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, Paul the Apostle knew this as well. He recognized that Jesus was the great shepherd. He was the one who was able to make him to have the necessary things of life, to provide those things as a shepherd would do for the sheep, as a shepherd would lead the sheep and take care of them. He also saw Jesus in this sense. He saw him as his pilot. In other words, he saw him as his leader. He saw him as the one in control, just as a shepherd would be. And so many people today have a license plate. Maybe you're one of these people. I don't know. It says on that license plate, God is my co-pilot. Well, let me encourage you to take that word co off of that and simply have the word pilot. We need Jesus today. We need God today, not as our co-pilot, but as our pilot. He needs to be the one who is in control of our lives. And of course, as we read the story in the life of Paul, we understand that God was his pilot. He was the one in control of his life. Paul also knew something. The Bible tells us in this verse that we've just read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. When Dr. James W. Alexander was dying, his wife sought to comfort him with precious words. She quoted these words to him. She said, I know in whom I have believed. Well, Dr. Alexander at once corrected her by saying, it's not in whom I have believed, but I know whom I have believed. He would not even let a little preposition be between his soul and his Savior. He knew the Scriptures, and he knew that Jesus Christ was whom he believed. Now, Paul knew the Lord Jesus Christ by a personal meeting with him on that road to Damascus. And he also knew him. He had personal meetings with him throughout his life, just as you and I can have meetings with God, with the Lord. Paul had communion with the Lord. And this is open to all of us who know Jesus as our Savior. Now, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior today, you cannot have communion with him on a regular basis. The way you start having communion with him, and the first time that you will have communion with him, is when you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm sorry for my sin. Save me so I can go to heaven. Now, if you pray that prayer and you go to the Lord in prayer like that, that's having communion with him. And if you pray that prayer and mean it in your heart, God will save you. And from that point on, you can have communion with the Lord. In other words, you can go to him in prayer. Talk things over with him. Take your cares to him. Take your praises to him. Let him know that you love him. And on and on and on the list goes of what you can have communion with Jesus about. Well, Paul had communion with him. He prayed often. Now, we also see in this verse that with Paul that he was sure of something. He said that he, that's Jesus, is able to keep. Now, Jesus is able to keep that which he is given. What he has given to us as saved people is eternal life. In John 17:12, the Bible says there, and this is Jesus speaking. Now, he wasn't gone yet, but he was preparing his disciples. He was getting ready to depart. And he was praying to the Father here, and he was saying as if he were already gone. Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And some would look at this verse and say, well, you see there, you can be lost after you're saved, because it says there that he lost only one, and that was the son of perdition. That would have been Judas Iscariot. But if you'll notice, in John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Jesus would never have referred, and he never refers to a saved person, as the devil. This shows that Judas Iscariot had never trusted Jesus as his Savior. Jesus, the Bible tells us, God is able to keep that which he has given to us, and that thing that he has given to us, that most important thing in our life, is eternal life. Now, there is ability of Jesus to keep our soul under heavy trials which are pressing on us. The Bible says in our scripture verse, I suffer. I am not ashamed, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep. And Paul goes on to say that the ability of Jesus was to keep his soul even to the close of all things. The verse says, against that day. I want you to notice with me briefly what Paul was, what he therefore was. First, we see that he was very cheerful. He was in chains. He was in prison. He was kept there most of his Christian life. He was kept under guard. But Paul was a cheerful man. His tone, he was a thoroughly happy man. Why? Because he could serve Jesus. He was also confident. He was a prisoner, but he says, I am not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of his condition, or of the cause of Christ, nor of the cross. Donald Cargill, on the scaffold, he was about to be hanged. And this would have been something that most Christians would say, oh, he must have been a very bad man. He was getting ready to be hanged. But notice, as he was on that scaffold, and this would have been on July 27th, 1681, he handed his well-used Bible to one of his friends. This friend stood nearby, and as Mr. Cargill gave his testimony, he said this, I bless the Lord that these 30 years and more I have been at peace with God and was never shaken loose of it. And now I am as sure of my interest in Christ and peace with God as all within this Bible and the Spirit of God can make me. And I am no more terrified at death or afraid of hell because of sin than if I had never had sin. For all my sins were freely pardoned and washed thoroughly away through the precious blood and intercession of Jesus Christ. This man knew Jesus as his Savior. He went to his death realizing that Jesus was his Lord and that because he had trusted in him, he was ready for heaven. Are you ready for heaven today? Well, I trust you are. And I trust you as a Christian are happy in the Lord. This is a good life. Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to be a fulfilled Christian today. If you're not saved, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that prayer, Jesus will save you today. If you're a Christian, I encourage you to be of good cheer because Jesus is our Lord. It is a good life. May the Lord bless you.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.